All right, everyone, buckle up. Because today, we're really diving deep into something pretty wild. I mean, this sounds like it could be straight out of a spy movie, but sadly, it's the real deal.
Sounds intriguing. What's the topic today?
We're talking asymmetrical warfare, but not the kind you'd typically expect. Think more along the lines of exploding gadgets and international intrigue.
Exploding gadgets. Now that's something you don't hear every day.
You got that right. We're taking a deep dive into a recent episode of the No Agenda podcast, episode 1696, to be precise. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, those guys who can sniff out a media narrative from a mile away.
Oh, yeah, I know them. Always got their fingers on the pulse of what's really going on, even if it's a little out there sometimes. What did they unearth this time?
Well, this episode aired on September 19th, 2024, and let me tell you, it's been on my mind ever since. It all starts with some really strange happenings over in Lebanon. Everyday devices like pagers, walkie-talkies, even solar panels just suddenly blowing up.
Blowing up. You mean malfunctioning or?
No, I mean full-on exploding, like with casualties. It's a whole mess.
Wow, that is strange. I can't say I've ever heard of anything quite like that. What's the thinking on what's causing these explosions? Faulty manufacturing.
That's where things get interesting. Curry and Dvorak, they're not ones for coincidences.
Yeah.
They lay out this whole argument, and it's pretty convincing, that points the finger right at Israel.
Israel, that's quite an accusation. What makes them so sure?
Well, they brought up some interesting points about the whole situation. For one, there's this shady Hungarian company involved called, get this, BAC Consulting.
BAC Consulting doesn't sound like a company known for manufacturing explosives.
Exactly. And that's their point. They think it was used as a front to cover up the trail of these, let's call them modified devices.
So we're talking about intentionally rigged devices ending up in Lebanon. If that's true, then the question becomes why? What would be the motive?
Well, that's where the geopolitical angle comes in. You've got the whole Israel-Hezbollah conflict, which has been simmering for years. This type of attack, it's kind of right up their alley if you think about it.
I see what you mean. It's all about plausible deniability. Plus, compared to something like an airstrike, it's much harder to trace back and there's less collateral damage.
Right, it's surgical, but in the creepiest way possible.
It certainly raises a lot of questions, but before we go down that rabbit hole, I'm still curious about why Curry and Dvorak are so convinced it's Israel behind these exploding gadgets. What other evidence do they have?
Okay, so they focused on a few things. First, there's the explosive itself, PTN.
PTN. That's some pretty nasty stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, extremely potent. But the thing that makes it ideal for this type of operation is that it's surprisingly easy to conceal. We're talking about fitting a significant amount of destructive power into a tiny, tiny package.
So you're telling me someone figured out how to pack enough PTN into a pager to make it explode?
That's exactly what it sounds like. And get this, these weren't even brand new devices. We're talking older models, some even discontinued.
Discontinued models. That just makes this whole thing even more bizarre. Who's going around collecting vintage electronics to turn them into bombs?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? But it gets even stranger, believe it or not. Apparently someone is, because according to Curry and Dvorak, a lot of these devices, they weren't just some random assortment of whole junk. They were very specific models chosen for their ability to just blend in.
You know, that's what gets me about this whole thing. It's just creepy. These weren't crimes of opportunity, you know. Someone went to a lot of trouble to get their hands on these particular devices, to modify them, to get them into Lebanon.
It's like they weaponized nostalgia, right? I mean, who's even using a pager in 2024, let alone worrying about it being rigged to explode?
Right. But that's the point, isn't it? No one suspects the harmless-looking pager. And that brings us to the really unsettling part of all this, because remember, they weren't making these devices, they were just modifying them.
Right, those devices had to come from somewhere. And they weren't coming from some secret underground factory.
We're talking about global supply chains, right? The kind that churns out millions of devices every year. It's all about efficiency, keeping costs down. Components get sourced from all over the world, shipped to assembly plants just in time for
It's
production.
like that just-in-time manufacturing that everyone's always talking about, right?
Exactly. Apple, for instance, they're masters of it. But that's also what makes it so vulnerable.
Because any point in that chain could be compromised.
Yeah.
We're talking about everything from the raw materials to the shipping containers. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. It's like that cybersecurity expert they had on from Ben Gurion University said. I remember writing down the quote. He said, "Look at every stage of the chain, whether it's the battery manufacturer, the assembly facility, or the shipping. It could be happening anywhere, and who would even know?"
It's really scary when you think about it. I mean, I know I have no idea where all the components in my phone came from. Do
Oh,
you?
not a clue. I mean, we just assume that these big companies have it all figured out, that everything's been vetted and checked and double-checked. But what if it hasn't?
That's a very good question, and one that frankly keeps me up at night. But you know what else is strange about this whole thing? It's not just about exploding gadgets. This is where Curry and Dvorak take this deep dive in a completely different direction.
Yeah. Where do they go from exploding
They
gadget?
start talking about Sean Diddy Combs,
Diddy, as in the rapper and music mogul, Diddy.
the one and only.
Wow, okay. That's quite a leap. Exploding pagers to Diddy. What's the connection?
So Diddy, he's been in the news lately, but not for his music. It seems like he's gotten himself into some serious trouble with the law. Racketeering, sex trafficking, the whole nine yards.
Oh, wow. I vaguely remember hearing something about that. It's been kind of a crazy news cycle.
That's an understatement. But Curry and Dvorak, they honed in on the timing of it all.
The timing. What's so significant about the timing?
Well, this whole thing with Diddy, it goes down just a few weeks before a major election. And they were quick to remind everyone that Diddy's boss is, well, Clive Davis.
Clive Davis. You're talking about the Clive Davis music industry legend, Clive
The
David.
one and only. And they made a point of mentioning that Davis came out as bisexual later in his life.
Okay, I'm seeing where they might be going with this, but I'm not entirely sure I follow.
It's all about the undercurrents, right? Curry and Dvorak, they weren't shy about implying that the music industry is no stranger to, shall we say, unorthodox practices.
I think I'm starting to understand. They're suggesting there might be more to this Diddy scandal than meets the eye, maybe even some deliberate manipulation.
Exactly. They brought up these parties that Diddy was supposedly involved in. I think they called them freak-offs. And, well, let's just say they didn't paint a pretty picture.
I can imagine. So are they implying these freak-offs were somehow connected to the timing of the scandal, maybe as leverage or way to silence someone?
That's the implication. And it makes you wonder, right? How much of what we see in the media, especially when it comes to these big scandals, is actually what it seems.
It's a disturbing thought, but it's hard to ignore the possibility. It seems like everywhere you look, there's another scandal, another controversy, and it's hard not to become numb to it all after a while.
Exactly. And that's what Curry and Dvorak were getting at. Are we being deliberately bombarded with distractions? Is it all just a way to keep us from seeing the bigger picture?
It's a chilling thought, but in a way, it ties back to what we were talking about earlier about the exploding gadgets, the idea that things aren't always what they seem, that there are forces at work behind the scenes that we may not be aware of.
It's like, what can you even trust anymore?
I think the takeaway here, if there is one, is that we can't just passively consume information anymore. We have to be skeptical, question everything, and do our own digging.
Absolutely. Don't just take things at face value. Do your own research, connect the dots, and maybe, just maybe, we can start to see through the noise and figure out what's really going on.
Well said. Knowledge is power, as they say.
And in this day and age, it might just be self-preservation, too.